Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. The Live Your Edge podcast is where I interview 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs, influencers, and successful business owners who in their own right were able to create a life on their own terms. We talk a lot about stepping out of your comfort zone, but what does it really mean to be in discomfort and how you can expand your so-called comfort zone by being able to constantly test and challenge yourself. Do you find yourself in the middle of a crisis? For most of the world, we are stuck in what we called a stay-at-home crisis. But everyone experiences it differently. And our guest today, Jeremy Montoya, is all about helping business owners get back on their feet and grow their companies even in the midst of uncertainty. We'll be talking about what you can do during this period of crisis to double down on your growth, double down on your business, and create new streams of income in places that you have never thought of before. So I'm really excited for this episode. Join me in welcoming Jeremy Montoya. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. I'm here with Jeremy Montoya. I usually get last names wrong, but today it's okay. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing so well, man. Really excited to connect given the state of the world right now and where you're at, and really excited to be here today, bro.
Yeah, so Jeremy's in Arizona, and I'm in Hong Kong right now, and the world's in crisis mode. Like, everyone is scrambling. Businesses are shutting down. People are losing their jobs. You know, there's a lot of chaos out there. So kind of walk us through, like, how do you see, from your viewpoint, what do you see is happening in the world right now from a business standpoint?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. You know, everyone watching this is either watching it as this is going on or really in the future and have lived through what comes of all of this. But it's interesting to see how, from my perspective here in the US, number one, how easy it is for the people to get into fear mode. And how extremely easy it is to want to spend all of your energy consumed by what is going on in the news, when in reality, it might not be helpful for you, especially if you're a business owner and for your clients or your customers, if you're in that zone. So it's been really interesting to see that phenomenon, and also to see the people who are winning and succeeding, to see what they're focusing in on, what I am and what I'm advising my students, what it sounds like you're doing as well on your side. And it's interesting here in the US because a lot of things are being kind of put on a pause and we're not really used to that at all. We're not built for it, but it's really been inspiring to see the people come together and adjust and adapt. And that's what this is all about. I think this is really preparing those who are willing to adapt with the right environment to really fix potential flaws in business, to adapt and mold and to grow. It's been quite interesting.
So what are the things you've been seeing that, you know, what are some good examples of cases where people are like, you know, they're like breaking records this month, whereas on the flip side, some people are shutting down their business, you know, for the last time. So why don't you give a share? Like, I'm sure everyone sees the examples of the bad on the news, but inspire us for a moment. What have you seen on your side on a good, you know, what are the good that has come out of it, like as a result of this?
Yeah. So I help a lot of people, to give people context here, listeners, I help people specifically to take their business online or to start from scratch from home and to grow it beyond 6 figures. And it's been inspiring because over the last couple of years of my life, I've been really helping people to prepare for not necessarily this sort of an event, but to take advantage of this new digital age that we're in. And so for my students who already have their offer and already have the process for creating conversations and generating that simple 5 to 10K a month, it's great having them there and seeing them win with the simple promotion strategies and the conversation starters that we help give them when they first get in the program and how we grow them. For the people who are just creating their offer, there's a little bit more urgency. And you know, with students, anyone who's listening to this who's a coach or who has clients, you can only want it as bad as your clients do. And it's really hard if you want it more for them. And from the outside, I of course want my people who are still in the day job or trying to supplement their income in some way to get out of the day job, to get out of that zone of comfort. And that's what it's unfortunately or fortunately created, depending how you look at it. If you're listening right now and you don't have an online business yet, you're probably thinking you're dealing with one of two situations. Your job is at risk and you still have it, or you no longer have the job right now. And so time is of the essence for those folks to get things going. And sometimes you need an outside circumstance to make you take the actions and become the person you need to be. There are some people who will not take those actions and will succumb to the news, succumb to the fear, and just get on government assistance and potentially stay there and maybe feel helpless. And there are others who are a little bit more empowered, who are taking the pieces they have, because everyone listening right now is at a different zone and a different place in their life. You got to take the pieces that you have and make the most of it. And that's what's been the most inspiring thing to see. What about for you? A whole different perspective on your end. What's it look like for you? What's the bad and the good been on your side, bro?
Yeah, so I work a lot with corporate trainers. And what happened is a lot of them have relied on live events, physical events for the longest time. And even those, like, you know, small business owners that I work with, they have like physical location stores and so forth. And now that the traffic has dropped around numbers around 90% in the US in the last month, it's crazy. Like brick and mortar they're all having troubles. And for the corporate coaches I was just referring to, they pretty much had their business evaporate overnight. Those that have not taken their business digital. So I've been seeing so many of them approach me now with, How do I, you know, start online? How do I, you know, brand myself? And, you know, should I start posting content? You know, how do I offer my services? Because traditionally their services are, you know, maybe they have these qualifications that they work many years for. They probably have like 10, 15 years of experience. But the thing is, the products that they sell, the services, the things that they train and coach in a corporate environment, it's not easily understandable in, you know, maybe a business to consumer standpoint. So I help them sort of identify angle into which to approach the market, because a lot of times they're like, okay, I teach strength finders, or I teach MBTI or the DISC method and all of these things. And to, you know, a normal person, they don't really know exactly what these things are. So it would be sort of helping them identify this whole process. And it's been very interesting, like on this side, like in Asia, many people have, because of the density here, like, you know, a little bit away from the coaching aspect, like in terms of density, people density, everyone is staying at home, and they were staying at home before it started in the US. So we're at a point right now where, you know, I don't know when this airs, but we're in March now, and we're at a point where we're trying to take advantage of the opportunities that's in front of us right now, which is like, okay, we clamped down on trying to contain this whole thing. And then now we're all at home. So how do we make the most of it? You know, Singapore is like really aggressive in trying to make things work. Hong Kong, same thing here. And then China is like our economic engine there is sort of restarting in a bit. We're in a really interesting place. Like we're in a very interesting point of time. It feels like it's such an interesting time to be alive, I would say. Like I wouldn't say I'm scared at all. I think I'm like you. I'm excited, because, and I know that sounds really strange, you know, to say that. Like some people are probably really scared right now, and but I'm sure that our listeners right now are probably not in that camp. They either you know, they have their own digital business, or they you know, been nomadic, so they're sort of used to this lifestyle where they're not stuck in one place, or they're constantly adapting. And I take an example, like a taxi driver. You know, a taxi driver is used to that ups and downs. But if you're like working in a stable job, in a stable ecosystem, and on a day-to-day basis, you're probably not going to have any of these big movements. But when something like this happens, then everyone is now the taxi driver, yet they're not used to being the taxi driver in that sense. If from your, like, so I want to, you know, pass it back to you. Like, what would your approach be for someone that's trying to navigate this situation here and turning that sort of setback into a comeback?
I love that. I love that setback to come back, man. And it's, I'm so fascinated over here, bro, because you're on the other side of the world where a lot of this has been the epicenter of, and now we're, you know, slowly getting to that point here. To give people like direct context, it's March 30 on my side. It's March 31 on your side. So you can kind of think back to what this week looked like for those listening on your guys' end. There is, number one, a major mindset shift that I am following and that I'm also directing my students to follow. And there's like three real big parts overview to how you navigate this that we've really put together and come together around as a community. And number one is we have to first shift our mindset from consumption to creation. Mm. And we hear this a lot in the online entrepreneur space, but we have to specifically get out of the consumption of the fear-based mainstream media and turn that down. We can't control it anyway, so you might as well turn it down. But there's also another sort of content that you should also be very aware of, the consumption of, and that's self-development content. Because it's very also easy to just be listening and not taking action. I'm a fan and an advocate for me and my students of listen to what you need to get you the next step and only listen to that stuff as you're implementing. If it doesn't help you right now, you're better off sitting on your hands and relaxing and doing nothing, or follow what we have dictated out for you in the program. So it's consumption versus creation. The creation side is creating in your market for my students, something that can help your clients who are dealing with this to navigate this stuff. It's creating and updating systems in your business. It's creating content and pillar content that can go to serve to attract people your way. So the first thing is the mindset shift of going from consuming and really shifting specifically into creating very certain specific kinds of things inside of our businesses to help them grow and to help our people. So that's the mindset shift. The three parts, the overview of the plan that we put together at Personal Freedom Mentoring for our students and to help them navigate is, number one, stay grounded and logical. And that really can happen just from turning off the TV and the media and really being selective of who you're around, which is probably important right now, but also what you're allowing to projected onto you and, you know, what you're putting inside information wise. So you have to stay grounded and logical. Number two is you have to come up with a plan. Is that, and this is going to be different for every person, for every student in our program, it's different for me, it's different for every listener here, is that you have to have some sort of plan. And if you're not used to working from home, you really got to get used to being your own boss really quickly. A lot of the people in my world are already there, but there's a new level and a new sense of urgency given the state of the world that we need to be operating under. So number one is you have to stay grounded and logical. Number two is you have to have a plan or a roadmap or revisit the plan or the roadmap that you're on. And you might have to adjust that is the kind of caveat there, is that you need to pivot your message. You need to, you know, because people right now might not be buying the Rolls Royce. They might just be needing the pair of shoes to get around town, metaphorically speaking, if we're comparing the modes of transportation. So you really have to know your market and these things. The third piece is about what not to do, and that is closing your registers. Right now is the time to be showing up for your people, to be showing up for your clients, to be showing up for yourself and for your family. It's not, excuse me, it's not the time to be slowing down. It's not the time to be in fear and not taking action. It's really about that plan and simply keeping the registers open. And so that also means for a lot of my students, people watching here, is having some tough conversations with people in your family about what lifestyle might need to look like temporarily, but also having specific conversations with clients that might be on a monthly style retainer or a monthly fixed service fee, or people that you have in the pipeline. Because if they are succumbing to the fear and aren't subscribing to this mindset, then they're probably trying to retract as well. And it's important that we have just the right conversation with them to keep them logical, to make sure that they're plan, and there's a right way to deliver that. And there's things to say and not to say in that conversation to make sure that we're just focused on the right objective together. So that's been what I've been subscribed to and an advocate for. And it's what we've been sharing with our students day in and out as this continues to progress and evolve. And we have students all over the world, so it's a little different given where they might be at, but it's the same, it's that same mindset and those same three parts.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially nowadays, so many people are going online and they're in sort of consumption mode. They're doing push-up challenges. They're, you know, just consuming a lot of content. But a lot of content is, at the same time, you might not be able to do something with it. Like, I used to read a lot of books, and I can tell you, I probably forgot some of the books that I've read. And nowadays, I don't even I do read the books, but let's say, for example, we have like these videos, you know, like, a, you know, so, sometimes you buy courses and all of these things. Some courses, I don't actually watch the videos. I have my assistant watch the videos, and then I have her write down the actionable steps from those videos so that I don't have to spend an hour watching it just for the sake of watching it, right? It's just like, I feel good. Like, I know you'll get that dopamine rush in that moment. You feel good about it. Like, oh, I watched this video about how to get a video viral and stuff. But at the end of the day, you gotta actually take the action and actually make the steps. So I totally agree with you there. Is focus on actionable steps, focus on staying logical, grounded, not being distracted by, you know, I mean, either you're a consumer or you're the producer, right? And then you want to be the producer, because if everyone has their eyeballs in the platform and you're the one producing the content, you're actually among the very small percentage of people that are actually putting stuff out there. So that would put you in a much better place than if you were just consuming, because that's not getting anything done. And of course, you mentioned a lot about, you know, having the right conversations with your clients, having the right conversation for your the people in your pipeline. Kind of walk us through that, because what would be, you mentioned conversation openers, conversation starters before. And I think that's really important, because let's say on LinkedIn, I get messages all the time from people on LinkedIn trying to sell me something. The first message I accept their connection request, and then the first thing they do is send me a five paragraphs long message about how good their company is, how good they are, why I should go and click on some link, you know, from some stranger. So, and I just completely disregard those messages. So walk us through what we classify as a great conversation starter.
Yeah, this is separate from what we might tell our students to be doing to go and generate leads and sales. But when it comes to this sort of things, it's, you have to come from a super level of empathy right now. And there's a level of understanding where your people are at before you jump into it, and identifying within them. It's about holding up a mirror and allowing for them to get rational about what they're saying and speaking out loud. And sometimes you just have to hear yourself or think something out loud to realize that you're not being rational and that you aren't staying level-headed and grounded. So it's number one is identifying where they're at and acknowledging it. And number two, it's the understanding that and having a conversation that leads them to a point where they realize that there are good expenses and bad expenses. Good expenses are typically investments, and this one is going to help them to navigate it, for at least for my world and for a lot of the things that my students help with, and I know probably for you as well, Gilbert. But it's about making sure that they're okay first, coming up with a plan together for how to navigate it, and then also letting them know. And any good coach does this, and it sounds a little weird, but any good coach will solve problems, but also create more problems for their students. And this is great because sometimes people need a reminder about why they're working with you, and to remember that, or to keep in mind that we're not at the promised land yet, and that we still have progress to do together. Yeah. And so sometimes saying, hey, here's where we started and what the goal was, here's where we've gotten to, here's what's changed, and here's what we have left to accomplish. Right now, that conversation's a little different. It's not as pretty. It's, hey, here's the state of things, and helping our students get into the mind of their market. What's going on in your market's mind right now, and entering that conversation, because you can't sell the Rolls Royce right now. Yeah. A lot of people, the conversation is no longer present to have the Rolls Royce of packages that you're going to offer. Some people just need the regular grocery getter car right now, or like I said, the metaphorical shoes to walk this thing right now. And so that takes a different message in every market. That takes a different sort of energy to come in with. And so it's really for me on my end inside of personal freedom mentoring, it's walking people through that thought process, and also sharing how do you take this situation, almost like kind of like Kung Fu, take that energy and move it in the direction that you're wanting. And so a lot of that comes from the pivot of the messaging. And also it's not stopping with offers. You can't be going out there selling the Rolls Royce and the offer, but you have to be going out positioning the right thing, being grounded and present with your folks, and being almost like the lighthouse in the middle of the night for people. Because right now is the time to step up as a leader. By creating content, you're positioning yourself as a leader. By staying grounded and present right now, you're positioning yourself as a leader. And that's just so critical in this time when everyone is needing that leadership to be that rock. And so it's not necessarily about the conversation starting. It's about what that theme of that conversation is. And it's checking in with every single one of your clients or customers and making sure they're okay.
Mm.
and coming up with that plan together. If it's the right plan and you guys are both super stoked about it, there's no reason for them to go anywhere else. In fact, we're seeing across coaching as an industry, a lot of people sticking with and upgrading because they know that this stands to help them benefit and catapult. And if you can thrive right now or push through right now, you can make it in any economic situation. Yeah. This thing up until now has been practice. Now it's now the game
it's
has
game
started.
Time. It's game it's time. Game time.
It's like when you're down in a game in the third quarter for those sports people and you finally tie it up and you realize that the score is actually now 0-0. And my lacrosse coach instilled this in me in junior high. It's the 0-0 mentality. Whether you're winning and on top or you're losing and you're far behind, it's the mentality that every second is an opportunity to own it and change the direction of the game. It's that 0-0 mentality. And right now the score is 0-0. It's up to you to not be looking at the scoreboard and judging at the results because those are in the past. It's about what play are you choosing out of the playbook and are you taking action and moving forward with.
That's a good point because those that feel like they are behind at this moment, they might be looking at the scoreboard like, hey, I'm behind. I'm trying to play catch up. And then when they're trying to play catch up, it creates this dynamic where they're not ever able to really catch up. And you brought up a lot of good points there where one of the things you mentioned was you had, it slipped my mind for just a moment. You mentioned about the empathy with your customer and just checking in with them. Something like, you know, for example, probably a good example would be, how are you currently handling the situation right now with this, you know, COVID-19 crisis, right? And just as a conversation starter, just to have them, like you said, share something about their situation, which allows you to be a mirror for them. Just like, that's what a coach does, right? Like, it's sometimes not about giving advice. It's about allowing them to see the answer for themselves and for them to see that, hey, I'm actually being emotional about this right now. And where I should be right now is actually taking advantage of this situation and not trying to hide and save my resources and close up. And instead I should expand and focus on growing. I should double down on my growth. By doing so, they have the next point, which is you mentioned to for them to have more problems, like for you to show them more problems, reveal to them more problems behind that, because yes, you solved their initial problem, but then once you solve the initial problem behind it, they realize that actually that wasn't really the problem, right? There's actually a lot of different things, much better problems to have. And I guess the whole idea is to give them a better problem to have than the one they're currently facing. Now, given the situation, like you have a conversation with your customers, you have it with your prospects, you understand them, you build empathy with them. And how does someone that's, whether they're like, you know, they've been running their coaching business or their small business for a while, how do they generate these new customers? You know, if they don't know these people, right? If it's, let's say it's cold outreach or list building, or it, you know, even it's email marketing and all of these other different channels, given this situation, which one would you suggest your students to go towards and why? Because there's so many different things you can do.
So many, but this is a super exciting question because now we're talking about what can we do with all of this? And that's where I'm a fan of existing as much as possible after you have that plan, or, you know, finalizing that plan and executing it is the real big thing here. So I'm gonna try to answer this in a way that will help the most of the people on here. And if I don't, then you can leave me a comment or you can DM me at @WhatUpJeremy. Maybe I can change the context of it, or you can just let me know your industry. We can kind of talk through what that might look like for you. So number one, if you have an email list specifically, I want you to focus in on there. Number one, this is assuming that you've pivoted your messaging and you've pivoted your product a little bit, given the state of things. We have a lot of students, myself included, who are creating different products based off of the current situation or modifying our current offer to fit right now. Normally I help students for a 12-month process. Most people can't see beyond 14 days right now. So how do we cater to a short to midterm vision in the messaging? Like for me, it's indifferent if someone signs up for 12 months right now, and instead let's just focus in on these next 60 days and we could talk about the rest when we get there. That's one of the small things that I'm positioning in my business differently. We're experimenting with a free trial experiment right now with, let's get you some clients and you use that to join the program. And then let's do that in the next 7 to 14 days. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Number one, let's draft up a new email to our email list with a super, super simple message. And I want you, if you use HTML and pretty newsletters and all that, I want you to turn that off for this message. And I want you to send a super, it's one or two sentences and your first name at the end. And it is just making an offer to your list with something they're wanting right now. A lot of our people are wanting to generate more revenue or come up with a sales plan to capitalize on it right now. So what that might sound like is, hey, are you looking to generate, you know, $2,000 to $3,000, 1 to 3 more clients in the next 7 to 14 days? Hit, you know, reply with revenue to this email if that's you. And it's taking away the normal messaging, taking away the normal stuff, maybe saying, hey, I'm hoping this is finding you and your family well. Are you still looking to work with me? Is essentially how it works. I call this a super simple email. I learned this a few years back. I have to give credit where it's due, from Dean Jackson of I Love Marketing. Great podcast, one of the oldest ones that's still running in iTunes, one of the best on marketing. And he calls this the 9-word email. Mine end up being around 12 to 14 words, so I don't call it the 9-word email, but I call this the super simple email because it's super simple. I used to do the HTML, the newsletters, all of that. No, take that all back right now. Focus in on the solution that your people are wanting and craft a simple sentence that asks them if they're looking for a specific result. So that's number one thing that I would do. Go ahead. Cool. I want to make sure I gave you a chance to chat. Yeah. If you had some feedback on that. The second thing is staying in that creator mode. We need to go on our social channels where we have the most amount of people, and we need to be making an offer. Now, sometimes when we have new students entering the program or folks who aren't super familiar with how I might coach or direct someone, I'm not saying create a whole new product necessarily. Sometimes you just pivot the way you're positioning it. But you need to have multiple offers going on at all times, but also specifically right now. So we direct our students to do a looking for post. Hey, I'm looking for 3, you know, online women fitness entrepreneurs who have capacity for more clients. Or I'm looking for 3 guys who are looking to add 5 pounds of muscle in the next 14 days. It's getting specific with who you're looking for. And the offer that you, the product that you give them might be completely different because you don't know what's going to happen once you're in a conversation with them. Once you're asking them the right questions, you're going to be able to figure out what situation they're at and direct them at the right part of your business or the right offer for them. Or better yet, if you need to, which I'm a fan of sometimes in the right scenarios, you come up with the thing they need right then and there. We don't need a year. We just need 60 days together. Let's just do that. And let's put a monetary amount to it if possible. And then if we're both in love with the plan, we can talk about how we can make this happen together. And So it's really about finding ways to start conversations. To your point, it may have been this question or a couple minutes ago. Right now is a perfect time to be checking in with your people and seeing how they're doing. This is just what good people do and what good friends do. I'm learning more and more of that. So, you know, as I get older, as the people around me continue to become even more important to me, it's checking in and also saying, how's business? Or how's the thing that you're best suited to solve for people and getting them in that direction for it, because it is top of mind for them in some way. If not, you get to be that guiding light for them to bring it back to the surface amongst all the chaos they have in their world. And you have the potential to uncover a need. And that's what the conversation starters and making offers and hopping on the story like we tell our students to do, or making a relevant post on Facebook or inside of Facebook groups in a non-spammy kind of admin approved type of way, just adding value, checking in on people, getting underneath them and leveling them up through your courageousness, through your groundedness, and just through being of service. And so it's creating the conversation. And it's setting the right precedence when you feel you can't help. And there's a big disclaimer on that, because it's easy to blow this if you're just getting on the phone with people and then you're trying to sell them. You don't want to do that. Mm. You want to just baby step them in through it and see if they want to explore what this might look like. And so we equip our students with the right conversation starters and the right questions, which I'm also happy to share 4 of my favorite questions when it comes to the sales and conversion part of this. And then we walk them through how to actually get people selling us, how to get people to ask us to work with them, get people asking us or you, the person listening, about what does it cost? What does it look like? What does the program look like? And them doing more of an audition for you versus you selling them is really the whole goal, and it takes sales out of it, and things can become really fun at that point.
Yeah, I have quite a bit to comment on that, actually, because this is what I would, you know, refer to, like, I didn't know like other people did this as well, but I guess this is like, you know, online digital stuff is definitely a mode where people are selling themselves on buying your own products. And I call it reverse, you know, like reverse selling. And it's a good point there, because when you focus on having the right questions, we'll get into that in just a moment. Having the right questions, you allow them to draw the stuff out of you, like draw the offer out of you instead of you trying to push it onto them. And yeah, that's beautiful, because like they feel like you're not actually trying to sell them anything. It's more like you're being of service to them. And it just so happens that I offer this and you need this, so how can you help me? And they're this, you know, sometimes like you're giving them a lot of value, a lot of information, and they're like, So tell me, how can you, like, so, you know, based on my situation now, like, I had this conversation like 2 weeks ago, one person, like I was speaking to him for an hour, just giving him a lot of information, a lot of content and stuff. And then at one point it's like, so I just want to know, like, what do you want to get, what package do you have? Like that sort of stuff. Like, okay. So it's essentially, he's asking me to sell him. And I totally agree with you, because we live in a place where, like, you know, this ecosystem where selling has evolved dramatically. And especially in times like this, where empathy is top of mind, it's more focusing on, instead of like having a product to push to them, it's how can I, like you said, just be of service, just care about them. And how can I, you know, uncover like something that maybe was not in the initial conversation, like when you first engage them on, say, social media, you say, I'm looking for three, you know, people trying to transform their health. And then some of those people message you. And then when you have the conversation, you realize that maybe the fitness thing wasn't their challenge. Maybe it was the nutrition side of things, or maybe it's the habits, maybe it's the mindset, all of these other things. And then you uncover the way to help them at the moment. And it's a good reminder, because a lot of times we're very encapsulated in our own offers, especially when you mentioned selling the Rolls Royce. And in given this situation now, many people are not open at the present moment to pull the trigger on paying the super high ticket, you know, the product. So that's a very good reminder, which brings us to what I just mentioned before. Like, I love to hear those four questions. You said you have four questions that you use to share with your clients that get them engaged. And,
Definitely. So, and people know this if they're in my world at all, any beyond this show, I don't have anything new to show under the sun to show anybody. Everything I've learned has been because I get coached, I get mentored, I read books, I do all of that stuff. I mentioned Dean Jackson, who's been not an actual coach of mine, but a remote mentor of mine who I've learned from and implement. I try to give credit where it's due. A lot of my sales stuff comes from a couple people. One is Taki Moore. He's probably the most badass online coach that I know of. And number two,
the guy Russell in Australia, Gray. Right?
Yeah. Australia or New Zealand. One of
Yeah, I think he's in Melbourne or something.
Yeah, all over the world now, yeah. Right? So it's important you guys know that, like, this is not anything new under the sun. Like, I'm just a product of many amazing mentors and applying what they say. And so the first thing that we want to cover is that there are three parts overview of every good sales conversation. It's asking, it's getting permission, it's asking and repeating. And that's what the whole cycle that we're doing throughout every sales discovery strategy type of session. And it's important because you're going to be moving so fast. The way we teach, we have our students do a triage call first or a strategy session first. It lets you understand if you're a fit or not. And it's simple. It's binary. Can I help you or no? And the point of this conversation is to figure that out. And if I feel like I can help you, I'll let you know. And if I can't, I will politely let you know and hopefully give you some resources to point you in the right direction. And that's really how the whole kind of thing close. And so, and that helps you save an hour where you get to the end, you pop the question about finances and they don't have it. You can solve this in 15 minutes if you follow more of a triage type of thing. Hmm. So in the triage or in the strategy call, there's four big questions. As you start to move on and progress in your script, you're going to be repeating these. And when you ask these at the end, when you ask them enough, you're going to get a yes, and you're going to get it on the other end. And so let's say you were like Gilbert, you're giving a bunch of value and you're leading the conversation in a great way. You are hopefully doing more listening than talking. That's also a critical point here because it's easy to talk yourself out of a sale. And the four questions are, is everything making sense so far? They'll say, uh-huh, or yes, yep. The second question is, are you comfortable with everything so far? Because you maybe have shared something that they've done before and they're not. Usually if you're doing a good job here, you won't have anything besides mm-hmms or yes or hell yes or better during these questions. So it's everything making sense so far. Are you comfortable with everything so far? I love, especially towards the end, when we get in the thick of things, what are you liking the most? Like what is standing out to you from here that you're super in love with? Because now you can focus more on that as the salesperson. You're doing them a favor and a service by doing that. And by not highlighting the other stuff and saving that for it gets better once they're beyond the finish line and working with you. And the last question, it's the most critical. And all of these will sound super weird. They'll become more and more natural because you'll see how helpful they are. The last one is super, super important. And it is, and I would write this down. If anyone's listening, this is the time to take notes if there was one, or to pull over safely and to take a note or screenshot or something, the timestamp.
Pull over safely. if they're driving.
Exactly, right now, none. The last question is simply, where do you think or where do you feel we should go from here?
Where do you want to take this? Yeah.
And they might have some questions. Usually those questions are logistical. What are the payment options? What are the, you know, do I get a week, 30 minutes a week, an hour a week? What does it look like? Is there a group? Is there, you know, is this the right thing? Okay, circling back to this thing. And then you're going to ask it again. Yep. Okay. And then everything good. Okay, cool. So where do you want to go from here? And they're going to say, well, do you do continue to take credit card? They're going to say, I think I want to do the, you know, you mentioned there's three options. Which one do I prefer? Well, I prefer this one. Okay, sweet. Go ahead with our credit card number when you're ready. It's simple. And sometimes we overcomplicate sales with long scripts and long flows. And this is usually a byproduct of not having either a sales coach or a business coach to be there with you, which if you just do that, and you get a good quality person, they're going to solve all of this for you. Whether it's me, Gilbert, or somebody else, have a coach. I know that Gilbert and I are both products of coaches and we're big advocates for it because you're going to move so much faster and you're going to avoid, well, what should I do? You're going to avoid that question and that years long journey of, well, what should I do, by getting a coach to tell you what the hell to do for you in your situation right now. Yeah. And so get a good coach and they'll help you with all of this, but it's this simple questions and the mindset of where do you think we should go from here? And they're going to tell you where they think, and usually it's working with you, which is always a beautiful feeling and a beautiful thing.
Yeah. A variation of that is like, how do you want to move? I mean, how do you want to move forward? Or the same thing, same question, or same thing with the previous question is a variation of what do you like about what you've heard, right? So somewhere along those lines.
Exactly. And they're, I know people are listening to this right now who might be struggling with sales or who haven't done it a whole ton yet.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds more simple than you might think it should be, but in reality, and this is hard, but if you're doing things right in an online business, then you should honestly be skipping all of that stuff and getting on calls with people where they're saying, Jeremy, Gilbert, you, I don't need to be sold. I just need to know what the payment options are. That's when you're doing a good enough job. Yeah. Where you don't need the sales calls and conversations, but if you're doing the paid traffic and you're getting people quickly onto a phone call, you're going to have to take them top to bottom and you're going to have to ask these questions over and over and over for their sake and sometimes for years, because God forbid you take somebody you don't want to work with long term.
Yeah. And it's really like having them affirm their own beliefs about working with you rather than you telling them that you are a good match for them and so forth. So these four questions are very, very good reminders as well, because they teach us that we shouldn't focus on pushing, trying to like force an answer out of them, and just allow them to have a space where they are in the driver's seat, where they feel that control. Because, you know, in this situation where they're in an environment right now where loss of control is very common. So it's very liberating for someone to have the sense like, hey, I'm in control. I have I have a choice to make. I can actually change the outcome of what's happening in my life right now. And giving them that power is really liberating for pretty much most people, if not everyone, especially in these crisis mode, in these chaotic situations and so forth. So having done this whole process, you ask the questions, you get them on the phone, and then you have your offer, right? Because you take in your offer and you maybe scale it back a little bit, but of course you're still adding massive value. For those listening that they're familiar with, they already have like a business going on, they have an email list, they've been marketing to the email list. In terms of the medium in which they engage, because I know you do a lot of Instagram stories, you do a lot of, you send emails and stuff. Which medium do you feel is, and this, I guess this is more about a tactical question at this point in time, rather than a one on strategy. It's in this point of time, which platform do you feel like is under promoted? Like people are actually, there's a lot of value to be given there, but people are not really providing that value there. Yeah.
I'm going to probably answer this a little differently than you asked, but I feel like this is at least the answer for me and for what I see out in the marketplace. I think that the worst thing an online business owner can do is hide behind the camera and not go on the camera. So number one, I think that it's video is the content type.
Yeah.
And number two, you should be putting your face on it and showing up every single day. And then posting that wherever it's contextual. And honestly, that's everywhere right now. And so it's very easy to hide behind the keyboard. It's very easy to just be putting images up on your story and it's feeling like you're hitting the checkbox that you're getting the story done. And instead, I'm an advocate for showing your face in a friendly, organic, relatable kind of way where you're being helpful and giving value and then you're calling them to action. You're giving them something. Maybe it's on Instagram, a poll, a sticker, a question, one of the sliders, a scale thing to like interact with and then calling the right people to action. Anything short of that, in my opinion, is doing a disservice to your market because people out there are struggling without you. And if it's important enough to you, which hopefully you've chosen an industry where that's the case, then you should be completely comfortable getting on camera, showing your face and calling people to action. So I'm more of a fan for video and for taking that video. I like to start on the story and then take that to Snapchat, to your Facebook page. If it's super good and hits home with your people, put that over in a, export it as a sideways video, or you can do vertical now on YouTube, maybe even on LinkedIn, and maybe even repurposing that, putting it on the feed and some of the other places. But we have to be going on and showing our face because at least for the people I'm working with and just in general, we are our businesses. The face is who they're doing business with, not the logo, they might be putting the money in the corporation, but they did business because of you. And you can just shortcut the whole process by putting your face on camera and showing up daily, consistently, and as frequently as possible.
That's a very concise way to put it. It's just people work with people, right? Not necessarily the business. And just being there. And when you have social media, you have your own, it's like you have your own media, your own personal media channel, and people are just like scrolling through and they see you every single day consistently without fail. And like, hey, I want to be able to have that same attitude towards my business. If I'm working with someone like him or her, that's constantly keeping me accountable. And I know that I'm in good hands if, you know, I work with them, and they might even just work with you on that basis. Sometimes like people work on you, they don't know exactly like how you would approach it, how you help them or do it, but they just trust you, right? It's that trust that really sometimes is the thing they need. Like this, they might say, okay, you're probably not you're in terms of affordability, you're way out of my comfort zone. And then with all of these things that's going around, like I am not in the right state of mind to do it, but then I trust that you're going to be able to help me. And then that's sort of the thing that pushes, you know, people over the fence. And that's very good advice for, you know, the business owners, coaches, everyone needs to go and put their face out there, make themselves known, even in a small way without having to just being someone that cares. And I think that's the whole message of all of this. So in closing, what is the greatest piece of advice you want to give or is someone that's given to you when it comes to how you operate your business?
It's a good question, a deep question. I didn't think you were going to go there at the beginning of the question. I think this circles back to what we talked about with part three of the mindset that we're giving our students. This sounds simple. This sounds too simple. It's just about how long you can stay in business. I worded this as don't close the registers. I don't have a register, but what I mean is don't stop doing business. Don't stop helping people. Don't stop taking on money. Don't feel like any economy or any situation is too bad to sell because you're doing your people an injustice. Business and becoming successful in it. Everyone listening to this right now, if you start or are in a business right now, you will be a success determined by how long you're in it. And if you're struggling right now and you're not succeeding, the game is about how long you can stay in. And so simply don't close the registers. Now, of course, both Gilbert and I and the smart listeners that you have here, all of them know, all of you guys know that you need to have a roadmap. You need to have a coach. You need to keep the stakes high. And if you can do those things while keeping the register open and keeping the doors open, everything's going to be okay. You have the right resources. If you're listening to Gilbert and you're listening to his show, I'm confident in that. It's about implementing those and not steering the car the other way, steering the vehicle the other way. Just stay open, stay in business, keep making offers and serving people.
Yeah. I have a mentor that told me that when he's a VC, and he tells me that when he evaluates people's companies, he judges the founder primarily on their staying power. They look at historically the ventures that they work with. Doesn't matter if it's first one or the fifth one or 10th one. It's about how long they are willing to stay through the tough times. And that would be a huge determining factor in whether he decides to put in finances and money into their company, because it just shows that this person, I'm investing in this person, even though the company might fail, the idea would pivot or something might happen. If that person is not willing to let up on it and to just keep persevering, keep pushing on it, eventually they're going to make something work. That's his belief. So that's a really good way. That's a really good advice for everyone. So for those that want to follow you, Jeremy, want to work with you, want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So first, Gilbert, thank you for having me on. This has been great. This is the first time you and I have connected, and this has been such a great kind of end of the working day for me here on my side. So I just appreciate you for having me on, and appreciate and honor your listeners for finding you and for staying tuned in here. Super smart and super wise decision. I would love to know each and every one of you are those who feel compelled. A follow on Instagram at WhatUpJeremy. And I have two resources for you depending who you are. I'm putting the final touches literally right now on a Start Your Business Toolkit. This is what we walk our entry-level students who are still in their day job through, finding the perfect business idea, defining their market, and creating their offer. We're giving this away for free. A lot of this was inspired because of the generosity I've seen in the community and a small way that I can give back. So if you want that, just DM me on Instagram, the word toolkit, and I'll send you that. Or you can head to whatupjeremy.com/toolkit and you can just download it and make your own copy of it and start plowing through it so you can be generating that 5 to 10K a month. If you're already doing that, then I would just send me a message on Instagram and let me know a little bit where you're at. And we can talk about a roadmap to get you well beyond that 10K a month and well beyond the six figures too. So we really help those two broad kinds of markets. And depending where you're at, we want to get you the right marching orders. And of course, if I'm the right fit, if we're the right fit, it's a big part of that too.
Exactly. And I really appreciate having you on the show, Jeremy. It's been really informative, really inspiring, and you've really given our listeners a lot of juice, you know, for this hardship, this time period where they need it the most. It's been a great, you know, it's been a great session where we really had a candid conversation back and forth, like how we can take advantage of this opportunity, not shrink, not sit on our hands and just wait it out, but just really take action and really just get started and just do something today. And I hope everyone listening to this right now, whether it's, you know, a week, whether it's like a month from now or even however long from now, they're able to take tips and advice from this and make use of it. So I really appreciate having you on the show, Jeremy. And everyone that's listening, give him a follow, subscribe to his content, and we'll see you all on the next one.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.